You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
Have you been investing in equity, mutual funds, but unable to maximize tax savings? Also, are you looking to buy an electric vehicle or a home for your family, but want some further relief from the government to encourage you to make that purchase? Well, you're not alone. Hello and welcome to another episode of CNBCTV18.com's Budget Podcast Series. This is your host Kanishka Sarkar and I'm back here with another expert to help us explain what the common man wants Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman to include in the budget for the 2022-2023 fiscal. To find out more on the people's budget list, ranging from relief on home loans, health insurance premiums and more, I spoke to Ms. Preeti Khurana, Director of Advocacy and Regulation at ClearTax. Tune into our conversation to hear what Preeti suggests the government must consider to ensure the consumption power of taxpayers is increased. Hi Preeti, wishing you a very happy new year and thanks for coming on the show. Hope you and your family are staying safe and healthy.
Hi, thanks for having me and wish you a very happy new year as well. And yes, I'm going all right and I hope the same for you and your listeners.
Yes, thank you so much. So Preeti, in this special budget podcast, we'll be talking about Budget 2022, a booster for growth, and how it is going to impact mainly the salaried bracket of people. We're just a little more than 2 weeks away from listening to Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman's budget speech on February 1st. And I'm sure apart from the reforms that the industry is looking forward to, all of us are waiting to find out what the budget will have for the common man. You know, be it changes in tax slabs, further relief on home loans, or any GST-related announcements. The most sought-after segment, however, remains income tax. So that brings me to the question, is it likely that there'll be a change in tax structure? What are the broad expectations of people on this front?
As you rightly said, very soon we will hear our finance minister give out the budget speech. And, like in every year, there's always an expectation around income taxes. And I think that has made the budget an extremely popular event. Especially this time around, I feel, I would like to present my answer in two pointers. So firstly, when you talk about tax reduction. So, of course, whenever we talk about the budget, we are all hoping that you have to pay fewer taxes. And I think this time, our desire to pay lower taxes is even more valid because there was a press release by the tax department somewhere in the middle of December 2021 when they said that they've had, a pretty good tax collection, like net direct tax collections, they said have grown, at more than 60%. Yeah. And not only that, the number of tax returns filed has been phenomenal this year. So, in that sense, it appears that in terms of direct taxes, the government has had a good year. And therefore, it makes a lot of sense for taxpayers to expect that there should be a tax reduction. So that's the first part of the answer. Yeah. The second part of the answer is that if you remember in Budget 2020, the finance minister introduced a new tax regime. Yeah. Now, this new tax regime was, just to understand it very, very simply, the new tax regime said that you don't have to sort of claim any exemptions. So they took away all your HRA exemption, NTA, all kinds of deductions, everything was removed and they offered lower taxes. And then they gave taxpayers an option to choose between the old regime where you had all the HRA exemptions and all the deductions available to you versus choosing the new tax regime with lower tax rate. And this year, the filings which have just completed on 31st December 2021 was the first year of filings where, people had to exercise that choice. Okay. So they had to choose between either the old regime or the new tax regime. And, what we've seen is that an overwhelming number has opted for the old regime.
Right.
So, this was the first time that these tax returns have come through and less than 10% of people who file on ClearTax have opted for the new regime. And I'm guessing, those are the people who perhaps couldn't find a chance to, claim their tax deductions, do tax saving, do their ATC and all of that. So maybe, it may not be out of choice, but maybe, they couldn't find the time, the opportunity or the money to make those investments. So therefore, you know, there is a clear indication that an overwhelming majority has not opted for the new tax regime. Now, if you go back to the speech of the finance minister, which was delivered during Budget 2020, this new regime was brought about with the intention of giving a simplified tax regime and to lower the tax burden. So definitely it's simpler, no doubt, but it doesn't really lower the tax burden. I mean, people are choosing to go for the old regime and claim their tax benefits. So I think this is a good opportunity, you know, with on the back of, you know, good collections, good revenue collections, and this reminds that the taxpayers have sort of not opted for the new regime. I think this is a good opportunity for the finance minister to take a relook at what should be done to make this scheme more attractive.
Right, right. So, Preeti, can we also expect, you know, any change in tax slabs?
Yeah, I think that would be absolutely fair to expect. Especially if you look at, you know, we compare the tax rates after a certain slab, which is, I think, around 15, 20 lakhs. Under both the regimes, you pay the similar rate of tax. And if you look at the tax burden, in, if you look at higher brackets, it's, you know, it's almost like 40-odd%. So that's a huge rate of tax to pay. And if you look at the growth in terms of, you know, your benefits, so your benefits haven't really grown at that pace. So every year, you know, since the past 4-5 years, we've been looking at ATC being stuck at 1.5 lakhs and practically no change in any other benefits. So in that sense, it makes sense to, you know, pass on some of the relief to the taxpayers. And I think there's also the play around inflation and, you know, stimulating the economy. So there are these factors also, which I'm guessing the finance minister could be considering, given that, you know, they always say that when you do lower tax rates, people have more money in their hands and they tend to spend more, and that in a way stimulates the economy. But then there's another school of thought which says that, you know, lower tax rates tend to raise inflation. So that's the other aspect of it. And I think there's a kind of a fine balance that the finance minister may be looking at. But I think it's very, very fair to expect some kind of tax reduction. It could be in the form of tax slab. It could be in perhaps some other form.
Right. So since we're talking about tax slabs, what according to you should be the right tax slabs? Like if you were to change the bracket, what should be the new brackets? And what about the lower limit?
Right. So, you know, to look at it from a practical standpoint, most taxpayers who, in fact, every taxpayer whose total income is within rupees 5 lakhs does not pay any tax. I think it's time to sort of raise that threshold. So it could be, you know, brought to say 8 or 9 lakhs. And, you know, we should allow these taxpayers to pay no income tax and don't, you know, expect them to do any ATC. So as of today, you can reach that 8 lakh zero tax in total income, but you will have to do ATC because you've crossed the 5 lakh rupee threshold. So I feel like one should be able to sort of earn a tax-free income at that 8 lakh and 9 lakh level. That's the first thing. The other thing is we may, you know, move around tax slabs here and there, but a very clear and easy way to reduce the tax burden across tax slabs is to actually relook at the standard deduction. So standard deduction is right now at 50,000 rupees and it's allowed to every taxpayer who's salaried. So if you're salaried, you know, you don't have to submit anything. If you don't have to do anything, straight away, rupees 50,000 is knocked off from your total income. This used to be 40,000 earlier. It was raised sometime back to 50,000. And I think a great way to offer some tax relief is to increase the threshold from 50 to perhaps, you know, 70 or 80. That's one way to do it. The other way to do this is to look at Section 83. Now, Section 83 is an extremely popular, useful section to save your taxes. Now, what Section 83 does is that if you are making certain investments and you are doing certain expenses and you have a total limit of 1.5 lakhs, and if you do those specified investments and expenses, then you can reduce 1.5 lakhs from your total income. So the threshold of 1.5 lakhs, I think it's been around since 2014, if I'm not wrong. And there is, you know, there is plenty of scope to increase this threshold to 2 lakhs or even higher. And Another way to do that is to allow people to claim, you know, their investments in ELSS or mutual funds, because we see that a lot of investing is happening into the markets, and but we are still not there. You know, other developed markets are, like, if you look at the number of people who get into mutual funds and say in the US or in some of the other developed countries, India is far behind. So I think that's another way to sort of look at the you know, the holistic picture of things, and increase the limit of PTC from 1.5 to 2, or else, you know, offer a separate deduction for equity linked savings scheme.
Right. So now moving on to goods and services tax. You know, many things have become expensive these days. I see there is an increase in raw material cost, which is mainly driving the prices higher. But then there's a very heavy GST also levied on many things. You know, say cars, for example. For the lower and middle income group, it has become increasingly difficult to purchase a vehicle. The GST on car ranges between 5 to 28%. So are we expecting any announcement related to the GST in this budget?
I think you're very right when you say that becoming difficult to afford a vehicle in India. And yet, you know, our automakers have been, we've seen so many, models come through, and there's growth happening. It may not be what they expect, but it's a flourishing market. And then when we talk about the automobile sector, the government has to look at various aspects, you know, not only in terms of, you know, what is the policy around, say, pollution levels, overcrowding, public transport, manufacturing. So there are like a whole set of parameters that the government has to consider. And in most economies, these goods, you know, vehicles and all, they are considered sort of for the higher income brackets. And so, you know, they attract a higher level of taxes. So that, you know, the government is able to improve their collections. And just from, you know, just taking a step back, if you look at the macro understanding of how GST rates are decided, so for, you know, GST is a great way to sort of level, you know, the various economic classes in the country. So between the rich and the poor, so if you're levying higher rates of taxes on the rich, because, you know, they are buying these kind of goods which are expensive. So, you know, it's an economic way of sort of leveling it out for all the taxpayers. So there are these variety of considerations that they may be looking at. I think one way to sort of make changes to the auto policy is to look at electric vehicles. I think that's right. The way forward. So perhaps we can look at maybe tax exemptions, maybe lower tax rates in terms of both the GST and direct taxes for electric vehicles, and, you know, more opportunities to buy these vehicles. So I think in the government may be planning to sort of move the country in that direction. So I think this is how we should really look at it.
Right. So now, what are the expectations of the insurance sector? You know, especially in this COVID times, many people want to cover themselves under health insurance or life insurance, or, you know, insure something else. But they're sometimes deterred given the high GST on premiums and its treatment in the IT return that they file. So what can we expect in this space?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right on this, that there's an 18% GST on any insurance premium that you pay. So just imagine you're insuring something, and if you're paying a lakh rupees worth of insurance, 18% of that you're just paying as GST. And because you're an individual, you don't get any input credits. So, you know, if you're a business, you may be able to claim input credits, benefit of taxes you pay on what you use as inputs. But as an individual, you know, I don't have that opportunity. So GST is a straightaway of cost to somebody who's purchasing insurance. So yes, that's absolutely valid. And if you look at the Income Tax Act, you're actually allowed to claim the GST portion as a deduction as well. So you claim the aggregate amount of the insurance premium that you pay. And this has been an ongoing demand. So, you know, there's been, I think every year we discuss around insurance premiums and how the GST rate should be reduced. And time and again, you know, nothing is done about it. And also this year has been, different in the sense we've observed that the number of people who've claimed deduction under Section 80B, which is towards health insurance premium, has significantly gone up. So a lot more people are claiming ATD, which means a lot more people are buying health insurance. And therefore, you know, it's not really a question of popularizing it because it seems like that people are now motivated to cover their health. They want to buy an insurance. But it may be an opportunity to make things even more simpler and cheaper for them. So definitely, I think there's scope there, and the government should consider this ongoing demand. You know, it has been coming since many years to reduce the rate of GST on insurance premiums.
Right, right. And what about the real estate sector? What kind of reforms can we expect in this space? You know, since the lower interest rates at present have encouraged a lot of people to buy homes. So what do you think the government can further do to facilitate this?
Right. I think, if you look at the real estate sector, we've seen that in the past, there has been a slowdown, but things are picking up now. So, you know, things are looking up and lately, you know, people have been getting into property. There are numbers available to show that investing has marginally gone up. So, therefore, you know, if you look at tax benefits, I think housing is one aspect which has not been touched very deeply. So, in the last couple of budgets, we made certain announcements where they allowed you to own 2 self-occupied properties. Earlier, you were allowed to only hold 1 self-occupied property, and the other, whether it was rented out or not, it was considered, it assumed to be rented out, and you had to pay tax on it. So they allowed the taxpayers to own 2 properties and not pay tax, assume tax on either of them. So they've done that bit on the housing front. Now, perhaps, you know, is what actually really remains is the interest deduction. And whatever is available right now, these 2 lakhs, is in any case, really less, you know, for all of us who are maybe sitting on a home loan and, you know, we are paying these fancy, EMIs all the time. And if we look at the aggregate interest payout on an average home loan size, the tax benefits do not cover it. So, yes, there is scope to do that. But again, you know, in the larger scheme of things, the government may plan to do something much more simpler, something which is available to, say, you know, nearly every taxpayer, such as touching the standard deduction or increasing the limit under 83. I think those are the easier ways to sort of provide relief to everyone.
Right, right. So lastly, Preeti, you know, people, especially in the middle income groups, have been eagerly waiting for something that will boost their consumption power. So on that front, do you have any other suggestions for the finance minister, apart from, you know, increasing the ATC limit or the standard deduction amount?
Right. I think, so, you know, in the sense of if you look at expenses, typically when do people increase their expenses? I think that's when, you know, they have a great outlook for their future. I think that's the primary, assumption, back of the mind, subconscious level assumption, that when I see futuristically that things are going to look great, then, you know, I tend to spend more. And therefore, one way to encourage that is to lower tax rates, stimulate the economy. In the last year, they had given out a scheme where they said if you have an LTA allowance and you haven't been able to claim it because a lot of people could not travel, so they allowed you to purchase white goods, you could claim your LTA exemption based on, say, purchasing some household appliances and certain white goods. Now, they need to come up with these kind of creative schemes, you know. So I'm assuming, again, you know, there could be a large number of people who will not be able to claim their LTA allowances. And therefore, you know, they could offer a scheme where to individual taxpayers, to salary taxpayers, where you're looking at buying certain goods. So, you know, you're allowed to purchase, say, maybe 1 lakh or 2 lakh rupees of white goods, and you're able to claim a certain amount as a tax reduction. So they could figure out some scheme like that, and this would really push the consumer goods sector, or push, you know, it could be a push for another specific sector. And it would make consumers, you know, motivate them to sort of go and spend and stimulate the economy. So these are some of the ways the LTA scheme was actually, it had too many conditions. So they have to make the scheme very, very flexible. They have to keep it in such a way that, you know, it has fewer limitations and fewer conditions, and people are able to avail of it. So if they sort of design schemes like that, I think those would be very helpful.
Right, right. Great. Thanks, Preeti. That's all we wanted to know for now. Thanks a lot for your inputs. Hope to connect with you again post the budget to discuss how the government took care of people's expectations.
Sure. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.
That's about it. I hope now you know what to look forward to in the budget for the next financial year. For more on the budget wish list, stay tuned for the next episode. With that, we end this episode. In case you have any queries or suggestions, feel free to write to us at cnbctv18podcast@nw18.com. I'll be back with another episode with more on budget expectations. Till then, stay tuned to cnbctv18.com for all the latest updates. Thank you for listening.